In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.
So, here we are, it's the eighth day after our glorious Easter celebration, and we have this wonderful gospel from St. John the Evangelist, and it says, then the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So here we have this context, and obviously we throughout Holy Week and then with the Pascha, we gave witness to the sufferings of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And those sufferings came at the hands of the Jews and those whom they were able to gather together to oppose our Lord and to reject him. And the results were tremendous violence. Violence against our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And then hatred against those who followed him and believed him and desired to live according to his life. And so the disciples are obviously very afraid, and they are in a state perhaps of even shock. And it says that they were gathered, obviously in secrecy, for fear of the Jews. And our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ came to them and greeted them, peace be unto you. So Jesus said, and as he says, as my Father has sent me, I also send you. And this in itself is a very powerful statement. Can you imagine just having witnessed the crucifixion, the cruel crucifixion of your Lord and God and Savior? And here you are, 1 week later, and you're contemplating what has happened in fear. And he says to them, as the Father sent me, I also send you. And you think that if you were one of the present then, you would, I think, not only rejoice on the one hand that the Lord was sending you or calling you to his service, but you might have fear. Seems that you would have fear. But then the Savior says he breathed on them, said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And this is an amazing doctrine of the Holy Church. And what it says is, literally, those sins which you bring to the presence of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, in the context of His Holy Church and the mystery of the confession, those sins are forgiven. And you're cleansed of them. And we all know that we will remember things from the past. But what really happens in forgiveness is that we're no longer enslaved to them, we're no longer controlled by those things of the past, and we, in a sense, are set free. The remembrance is a very important thing because we need to, we being men, women of the flesh and living in the world, we have a tendency to, even though we've been forgiven all our sins, to go off and continue to sin. And so we remember what has happened in the past and remember the forgiveness that God has given us and the freedom that He's given. Because if we truly and deeply repent of our past sins and we open our hearts to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and we ask Him to send His light into our hearts and to illumine our hearts, there is a sense of peace. And yet, we have to remember remember where we came from, we're going to repeat those things that happened to you. And the gospel goes on and says, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see his hands, in his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And this is, of course, many amazing statements, but this is yet another remarkable statement in the gospel. Here's, of course, you call Thomas doubting Thomas. And his doubt is for a good reason. And because, in a sense, he brings to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ not just his own doubt, but the doubt that all of us might have. And so, and so the gospel arouses in our hearts doubt. Do we doubt? Are we like Thomas? Do we doubt? And the Savior, of course, resolves this very beautifully. And he said, and it says, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside. So here it is, it's 8 days between now and the event of Thomas making his statement about belief. So after 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came in the doors, being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. So we have this dramatic scene where our Savior comes through the doors, and the implication is they were not open. He just passed through them. And Jesus said the doors were shut. And he stood in their midst, and he proclaims this powerful statement, peace be unto you. And may that peace that he proclaimed upon them fall upon all of us individually. And may we experience this release, as it were, from darkness and from memories and from events and so on that were powerfully affected us in our lives. And he says to him, do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas was amazed, of course. And he cried out, my Lord and my God. So he accepted the fact that Christ was truly raised from the dead. And he cried out with this just very powerful, my Lord and my God. And so he not only recognized him, but in his heart of hearts, deep within his being, he embraced him. And he, as it were, entered into his very presence in his being. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now this is wonderful. So here we are. We have seen, in a sense, we've seen the events of the crucifixion unfold before us during Holy Week. And we have bore witness to the fall of the witnesses for over 2,000 years, as it were, of people who give witness to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and we have beheld these things. And yet, we are also, we're unstable, right? Sometimes we're believing, and sometimes we're not believing. And yet, here we have Thomas, my Lord and my God, crying out. And because, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. And I think one thing that's not in the gospel at this point, for this day's gospel, is the reality of the community. body of Christ. And together we are the body of Christ. Our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ, is present with us. And he has given us over the ages a way to come to him, a way to enter into his presence. And that way is through the divine services. And of course, the mystery of Holy Communion, which he established even before his crucifixion. And so it is that in reality, we have the ability to encounter our Lord. And what's amazing is that our Lord accepts us, even as he accepted Thomas, even if we're doubting. So we overcome our doubt on the one hand by faith and by humility. And humility which is, I know I have these struggles and so on, but I'm going to place myself, my heart and my mind and my flesh and body into the hands of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ and participate in the mystery of his body and blood. And this is what the body and blood of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ is, as it were, the fruits of his death and resurrection. And they are given to us to heal us, to sanctify us. If we have doubts, to heal our doubts. If we have pain and struggles, to heal our pain and struggles. And to lift us up, so that little by little, day after day, year after year, we begin to feel very deeply within our hearts and our souls the presence of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And this, of course, is why God has given us 70. I hope it's a little bit more than that, but given circumstances as they are, that he's given us this time to, as it were, on a weekly basis, as much as we often can, as we can, it's always another way to come on a weekly basis, but to commune with our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. To partake of his resurrection through Holy Communion in his body and blood. And when we do this, the presence of Christ grows inside of us. And what are we to do? We're supposed to take the presence of Christ that's been given to us as a free gift and take it home, as it were, and with our prayers in the morning, hopefully, and a little bit in the evening, and then our remembrances of our Lord, the Jesus prayer, the religious distress of mercy upon me throughout the day, we keep that light alive. And it continues to glow within us. And not only glow within us, but it continues to grow within us, and to cleanse us, and to give us true life. Life in Christ as we live in this world, which is obviously very, very troubled. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Christ is risen.
Christos
anesti.
Christos anesti.